Hello, I'm Roslyn Himes. Thank you for joining me for this look at the arts in France this week. Auguste Rodin, one of the best known of French sculptors, died in November 1917 at the age of 77. 100 years on, the Rodin Museum in Paris and his workshop in Meudon, a suburb west of the city, and the Grand Palais, to name but those in and around the French capital, are using the anniversary to shake off the dust. Add to that a film starring acclaimed French actor Vincent Landon in the title role of Rodin, directed by Jacques Doyon and screened in competition at the Cannes Film Festival, Rodin is born again.
Je ne cherche pas à plaire. Moi, tout ce que je veux, c'est être vrai.
That's an extract from Doyon's film, which was partly set in the Rodin Museum in the Hotel Biron in Paris. The museum is also hosting a temporary exhibition this year, the work of German artist Anselm Kiefer. Kiefer is known for his preoccupation with history and for reviewing particularly the human nature that goes with some of the most horrific aberrations of our times and of World War II particularly, which just preceded his own birth. He's also known for his works in relief and his apparently disassociated sculptures, which can delve into memory. It's not surprising that he would become absorbed with the work of a powerful creative sculptor like Rodin and incorporate some of Rodin's plaster body parts into his exhibition, along with imposing rising or collapsing bronze toned cathedral paintings. Véronique Mathieu-Sy at the Musée Rodin told me that Kiefer was an artist worthy of pitching against Rodin, as he too is a man of many talents, a sculptor, painter, architect, etc. The aim was to challenge accepted views of Rodin as an artist. She said, however, they discovered the two have much in common.
Ils ont la même addiction au travail.
First of all, they have the same addiction to work. They create their very own special universe, which is immediately identifiable. They share their own particular and bedazzling vision of nature, which is a source of renewal and invention. They also have a sort of inspirational melancholy, which allows them to go beyond their horizons. Over and above all, they share a taste for research, experimentation and exploration, and a fascination for what's accidental. They have a similar approach to the creative process.
Mathieu-Sy told me that Kiefer, who was in residence at the Hôtel Biron, based his exhibition work on the monumental book Rodin wrote and illustrated 3 years before his death, Cathedrals of France.
Anselm Kiefer a commencé par élaborer toute une série de livres.
Anselm Kiefer began by making a series of books, which is a sort of matrix in his work, which he repeats and recreates constantly. Based on Rodin's Cathedrals of France, he represented large format books covered in liquid plaster on which he draws and paints. They show the tension between the female form and architecture. He was struck by the organic dimension Rodin gives to the cathedrals and his drawings and collages, which show the ambivalent way of considering the cathedral between sacred devotion and profane enjoyment.
Encore toujours un peu une ambivalence entre une dévotion sacrée et une jouissance profane.
Catherine Cheviot is the director of the Rodin Museum, but I found her at the Grand Palais over the river, where a commemorative exhibition of some of Rodin's works, like the perfect white marble The Kiss and Balzac's plaster-drenched robe, stand or hang next to those of sculptors who worked in his studio, like Ossip Zadkin. For some of the experts around at Rodin's time, he was just too avant-garde. But perhaps that's why, as a groundbreaker, he inspired later artists right up to today with his sculptures, drawings, watercolours and photographic studies. At the exhibition at the Grand Palais, you can see a direct connection between his bronze child prodigy kneeling on a rock with legs apart and open outstretched arms with George Colby's The Fall of 1924 or Zadkin's Torso from the mid-20th century. Of course, you can see the influence of the Italian Renaissance Michelangelo on Rodin's work too. Catherine Cheviot told me that situating Rodin in the continuum of art history provides us with a fresh idea of his genius.
The classical retrospective is currently in the Musée Rodin all the year, so Grand Palais. It was the opportunity to focus on what Rodin changed in the sculpture in his time, how he was seen and collected, and how the young sculptors in his lifetime until today have appropriated some aspects of his art. And all this is ordered in a very simple way. First, expressionism of Rodin, a new language, Second, all his experimental work and all the technical inventions, and then the legacy of Rodin on the part of modern sculpture.
It's very striking for people who will have been to countless exhibitions or who are coming to the first art exhibition in their lives. Is the process?
Yes, it's not only important to understand how he obtains the definite work, but it's also important because the process itself has brought a lot of inventions in aesthetic field. So here, with the possibility to have work from abroad, for example, there's a room where we can show side by side a plaster from our collection and a marble from Russia or a bronze from Boston. And those two were never shown like that before.
Something that's also probably quite surprising for visitors is the mixture of media that he uses. And for example, you have a series of quite small figures, either terracotta or plaster, sometimes coming out of, as we see in this room, different objects. It's not only a mixture of the materials themselves, but it's also mixing two artifacts, ancient with his own work.
He's very curious of anything, so he tried ceramic, he tried naturally drawing. He didn't take photographs itself, but he introduces the photography in a studio and in the process of thinking about the works. He was using anything in his sketches, terracotta naturally, but more and more bricks, fragments of wood, nails, pottery, even ancient pottery, as you said. He had an amazing collection of more than 6,000 pieces of antiquity. And at the end of his life, he did assemblage. He created works when assembling a pottery from his antique collection and small figures in plaster. He did himself.
How do you decide which works to put in an exhibition like this?
What I wanted to show is that young sculptors came from all Europe around 1900. Brancusi, for example, studied in Rodin's studio for 3 months. And we have in the exhibition the sleep by Rodin, sleep by Brancusi, and we see very strikingly how Brancusi at the beginning was completely influenced by Rodin, and then he separated from him. But for the modern and contemporary sculpture, I wanted to show how one part of the contemporary sculpture, only one part, this part of figuration and expressive figuration, has a lot to do with Rodin's work. When Giacometti, for example, turned again to figuration after the Second World War, he said very clearly he was admiring Rodin. After the war, after the horror, the darkness of all events in Europe, it was no more possible to do art like before. So they turned to an art that could express the inside of a human being.
The king of sculptural emotion.
We could say that, because he was celebrated for that in his lifetime. Then he was accused for this particular reason. There was too emotion, and then rediscovered for the same reason.
So the film Rodin won no prizes at Cannes, but is a watchable biopic and shows the artist in a different film version light. Rodin's wrangling is equally shared between love, sex and art. The Auguste Rodin character, played by Gérard Depardieu in a 1988 film called Camille Claudel opposite a wild young Isabelle Adjani as Camille Claudel, showed the man ensnared in a violently passionate love tussle against a background of art. And it showed how Rodin stole Camille's show, if not only, also because she was a woman. Véronique Mathieu said it was important today for the museum to show the artist as he really was. For this year's film Rodin, director Jacques Doyon and actor Vincent Lindon spent time researching the character at the museum itself.
Jacques Doyon a fait un énorme travail à consulter
Jacques Doyon worked extensively to prepare the film and consulted the archives. The actor, Vincent Lindon, came here every week over several months to become familiar with the life and work of Rodin and to understand the sculptor. He took sculpture lessons. Doyon doesn't show him as a superhero, but shows him as a genius, who was nevertheless beset by doubt. And it's a very faithful portrait of the man, and very human.
Très humain, qui est très proche de ce que Rodin était.
So the centenary of Rodin's passing, a man and an artist who marked his time, is still marking ours. You'll find more information on all the events in France and at the various Rodin collections elsewhere in the world on www.rodin100.org. My thanks to Catherine Cheviot and Véronique Mathiusi and Clémence Goldenberg at the Rodin Museum in Paris, and to you for listening. Until next time, from me, Roslyn Hyams, goodbye.
La beauté, on ne la trouve que dans le travail. Sans lui, on est foutus.